gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the last free speech platform on the tubes. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. It won't necessarily be there forever. In fact, it won't be there forever unless you support it. Click on the donate button, send a donation, or otherwise follow instructions. You can call in. There's a number. The call-in number is 512-248-8252. That's not really the donation number, but you could call in and get the donation number, or they'll help you out. So do that, and download the Co-Certified app, because you don't want to be paying these guys in long beards and very stylish hats to tell you what you can eat and what you can't eat, and then make you pay them for it. So that's what I say. Download the Co-Certified app. You'll be glad you did. Okay. Today we have, this is our Filbert day. So Filbert, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that you're back, because last time we spoke to you, you had the deadly coronavirus.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to take another test, I'd probably still have the antibodies, so I'd probably still be positive. So I'm out spreading my deadly sickness. I've been looking for some small hats to spread it to, but I guess fortunately I haven't seen any. I know they're there, but I haven't seen any.
Well, here's the thing. You know, what happens if you spread it to them?
I don't know.
Not a whole lot. Because it's really not that bad.
I hear it disproportionately affects non-whites, though. So is the virus racist in and of itself?
Let's unpack that a little bit. In America, with the exception of Asians, non-whites tend to be more obese than whites. The Hispanics are more obese, and then you know what the average weight of a black woman in the United States is?
I'm going to guess 200 pounds.
Almost. It's 191.
Okay. Good guess. Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. And you know, the Hispanics, I can't remember the average weight, but and a lot of these ones from like Central America are a lot shorter, but still packing on a lot of weight.
And hygiene. You could mention hygiene or throw hygiene in with that pool too. Whites tend to have, you know, better hygiene habits.
Okay. So you got that. That's in America. You know, the Hispanics in particular, the illegal immigrants in particular, when they come here, they not only are they bringing murder and rape, but they're not sending their best. They're sending their murderers, their rapists, their diabetics, and some of them presumably are healthy people. So these are, I mean, obesity and diabetes are big risk factors for the corona apocalypse, for the Holocaust. Which I do think there is something out there that's novel. I don't know, but I wouldn't bet my life on it.
No, I'm sure there is too. And honestly, I listened to you and Mark Collette, the last show that you guys did. I think when was that, Thursday?
Would have been a Monday show.
Okay.
But maybe you listened to it on our.
No. Yes. It was a Monday. I remember. I was actually on my way. To go camping. I was on a road trip. Whenever you spoke with me.
Yeah. With your dog.
Yeah. We had fun. We had a good time. But So I've gotten the common cold many times. Just like every other individual. Nothing special about me at all, but I've never lost like my sense of smell over that. So I'm convinced there's a virus going around that's relatively benign, and it's new. I don't know. I'm not a microbiologist. I couldn't say, but I feel it's different. And I was skeptical, so here I am changing my mind because the evidence, my evidence has changed.
Yeah, but the main thing isn't, and never has been, the virus, the pathogen, whatever. The main thing has always been the insane response. And
yes,
I think
yes,
you have exactly. changed your opinion about the insane response.
There's not one at one time that I felt like I was at risk of dying from this. There's not 1 minute did I ever think of that. In fact, I thought of the opposite. You know, you wonder why people are overreacting. I mean, I guess largely because they're told to act that way, you know, and they're rewarded for acting that way and for freaking out over this. But no, I didn't feel like I was going to die at once, nor did I feel like I need a experimental gene therapy to help prevent right. this from happening again. You know.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. You know, if they tried to mandate a gene therapy, a so-called vax on you, would you be able to tell our audience how you would react without Fed posting? Could you do that?
Well, yeah, I've made my decision on that. It's scary to think about what, like going door to door and stuff. But I would refuse. Simply put, yeah, I would refuse. There's no way I would take it. And I mean, so let's just put a hypothetical scenario here. So if you refuse a vaccine, what are they going to do? Try and arrest you? Or would you go and get arrested voluntarily, or would you resist arrest too? You know, because boy, if they put you in handcuffs, you know, then they could just inject you right there and be done with it, and then charge you with resisting a vaccine, you know. So I wouldn't recommend anybody break the law, but you know, unconstitutional laws shouldn't have to be followed, or they should be nullified, or don't know the word I'm looking for, but I hope you get my point.
Yeah, no. In fact, you know, I envy you because now you can say, well, look, I've already had it.
So right, why don't yeah, I'm probably immune to it now. I mean, I would imagine.
You would imagine so. And if you look at the data that they're putting out there, which, again, isn't necessarily reliable, but the data, I guess, from England, from the National Health Services, where they're showing that like 40% of the new cases are people who have already received the vaccine, which I guess is about half the adult population or something like that.
Yeah.
And only 1% or less are people who already had the disease, which the people who already had the disease may well be a big hunk of the population, may well be half the population by now. Who knows? Because I don't know how well they're keeping data on that. But the thing is, that 1%, that those people who they were probably people who were false positives in the first place. That, you know,
right?
Yeah. So I'm sure you have much better and broadband, because when you get the immunity naturally, it's not necessarily just the variant that you had, but you tend to be immune from the other variants, which does not seem to be the case with the experimental gene therapy.
Yeah, this new strain, I don't know if it's the new strain, I couldn't say, but it largely does appear to be affecting the younger crowd. Like, I'm in my early 30s, and I mean, I got it. I don't even know who I got it from. I guess that's as good a guess as any. I've been doing lots of traveling.
Do you have the so-called Delta variant? Do you have this new variant?
I did. I know they didn't test for that, so I don't know. Possibly.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, and then regarding other countries, why something that David Duke talks about is in Sweden, it has, at least among healthcare workers in Sweden, it is very disproportionately affected the, you know, Somalis and the various non-Nordic people. And Dr. Duke, I'm sure it wasn't his idea in the first place, but he's always talking about the vitamin D factor. And there have been studies, from Singapore, showing that people who were coming down with symptoms tended to be people who had vitamin D deficiency. And you take a bunch of Eritreans or Somalians or other black Africans, throw them up there in Sweden, where there's very little sunshine, and they have that dark skin that doesn't produce vitamin D naturally very well. They are more prone to vitamin D deficiency. So there are those things, how the deadly coronavirus is all racist. But here's the question, okay? I mean, we would all like to end racism, especially among, you know, viruses. But given the choice between ending racism and a grommet mug, what are you going to choose?
Take the grommet mug.
That's a sweet mug.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know what we're referring to, I'll try to get this up on nationalbugle.com. There was, I guess somebody took a poll, or maybe this is just a Photoshop manufactured meme, but it shows a picture of Gromit from Wallace and Gromit, who is a dog character, and Wallace and Gromit is clay animation. I know I've talked about it before. And Gromit's a really cool character. And so there's like a coffee mug that is made to look like Gromit's face, and it's really sweet looking. And it says, what would you choose? End racism? Gromit mug. And 91% of the respondents chose Gromit mug. So choose wisely. Choose wisely, my friend. You know, that was also a meme, choose wisely, my friend. They had, in the 2016 election, early on, during the primaries, they had a picture of Donald Trump with Melania. And then they had a picture of Jeb Bush with his wife, Columbia, or whatever her name is, who's like 4'11" and, you know, 250 pounds or whatever. Okay. And yeah. And it said something like, we need a president who can make good choices. Something like that. I can't remember. It was pretty good. But it illustrates a couple of things. Okay. One thing it illustrates is that, you know, I would like to have natural immunity. So when, you remember Donald Trump and Melania last October, they both got the coronavirus. And like, I was totally trying to get the coronavirus by making out with Melania, but it just didn't happen. You know, I don't know, natural immunity or something. So there's that. But then also, you know, I was thinking about the Charlottesville, the deadly Charlottesville event of 2017.
Yeah, where an overweight lady had a heart attack.
Right, overweight lady. And then Andrew Anglin made a fat joke about her. He said basically that it was a good thing she had died, because otherwise she would have been a burden to the welfare system for the next 30 or 40 years.
Well, I mean,
so fat.
I wouldn't, you know, dance on the grave of anybody, honestly, but I mean, he's right about the welfare. You know, I mean, I don't see how he's wrong. I'm sure he was right.
Well, and what I had heard through an associate was he was intentionally trying to provoke a free speech crisis, which he did. I mean, I guess the clampdown was coming anyway, and the same day they took away his website, they took away Don Black's website.
Yeah, Stormfront.
Yeah, Stormfront. And I was associated with both those websites at the time, by the way, but it's not like I think they were coming after me. At any rate, so you have that, and a lot of people don't realize just how obese this woman was. What was her name? Heather Heyer?
Right, and she was clutching a pack of Marlboros or cigarettes.
Newports.
Okay, Newports.
I think they're Newports.
That's what blacks. That's popular blacks. For blacks to smoke.
Yeah, but she is a social justice warrior, so I guess she had. And she was extremely obese, and she was out there dressed in black, out there in the sun. And also she was stoned. I read the autopsy report. So she had a lot of THC, THC in her system. She had a lot of diseased organs, a diseased uterus, a diseased liver. Her mother was on one of those Bay shows, whether it was, maybe it was Ellen DeGeneres' show, and was saying that the last time she spoke to her daughter said she had just taken out a life insurance policy and made the mother into the beneficiary. And, you know, like a 30-year-old woman with no children isn't that likely to take out a life insurance policy unless they personally think that they're not going to last long.
Yeah. Okay. Right? I didn't know that, but that's amazing.
Well, here's the main thing. So I read the autopsy report. There's all this stuff about the diseased organs and the THC in the system, but the most amazing thing was her height and weight. So guess her height and then guess her weight.
Okay, I believe she was like 5'8 and close to 300 pounds.
No, she was 4'11 and 330 pounds.
Wow, I didn't know she was that short. Not even 5 foot tall.
Not even 5 foot tall. She was 4'11. And maybe she had been 5 feet at one point, but if you're that fat, that's going to weigh down. I mean, it's going to crush.
If you can imagine, you were there that day. You said it was really hot. It was, I don't know how hot, but can you imagine how much this lady would stink? Like, I'm just imagining, like, how somebody that size, like, keeps all their rolls clean. Like, it's just gluttonous and, that kind of person is just gross.
Yeah, and when you think, like, 330. How do you get 330 on a 4'11" frame? And just to put it into perspective, I was talking about George Bush's wife, Columbia.
Yeah.
Is that what her name was? Something like that. And so she's like 4'11" and, you know, I don't know, 160 pounds, or whatever. And then you figure, okay, let's just take a black lady, Chlamydia Harris, right? Who's probably, you know, normal size. And she's not super obese, but, you know, kind of overweight. So she's like, you know, maybe 5'4 and 170 pounds, okay? So to get perspective, I just want to put this in context. To get perspective on just how enormous that Heather Heyer was. Okay, imagine George Bush's, not George, but Jeb Bush's wife, Columbia, the you know, Guatemalan lady, Columbia, who's like 4'11". Imagine that she murders and eats Chlamydia Harris without ever once going to the bathroom. Eats a whole thing, entrails, diseased liver, everything. That's Heather Heyer.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, Anglin's right. I mean, she would have ate herself into a wheelchair if, like, she was still around, you know? That's how I wonder. Like, I see the people that, like, are too heavy to even walk sometimes and just are shameless. And, like they're the kind of people or kind of person that would, like, you know, be in line at the grocery store and, like, open up the food and eat it, like, before you pay for it, you know? Like, because you're such a slob. And yeah, I wrote a song about people that are like that. And
We will play that. We will play that.
Okay, but we'll dedicate that to the deadly Charlottesville rally.
Yeah, we don't have to. I mean, we're not dancing on Heather Heyer's grave, but we will.
No, I'm not. I'm not even dedicating it to her. We'll just dedicate it to the rally.
Sounds good. We will be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
All right, yeah, we are back, and obviously, you know, we don't take pleasure in anybody's demise, anybody's misfortunes, but Heather Heyer was on her way to, you know, eating herself into a, like, a Netflix reality series, you know, or what was it? One of these networks has America's Biggest Losers, and it's about fat people trying to lose weight.
Yeah, but she would have a chip on her shoulder if she couldn't have the urge to eat it, you know?
Well, she would have a chip on her shoulder, but she already had that box of Newports wrapped up in her sleeve up there.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so you got that. Here's something else, and it's in a similar vein. There is a young man named Jaden McNeil. I've spoken to him before. He's very intelligent. He's a Groiper. He's one of the leading Groipers. He's friends with Nick Fuentes. And I don't think he ever did get kicked out of Kansas State. He's about 21 years old. He's should have been a junior this past year at Kansas State. I don't know if there was a lot of pressure on the school to dismiss him, but the school really didn't have the legal the legal means to kick him out, but he took a leave of absence because there's all this hostility towards him. The sports teams were saying that unless he got expelled from school, they wouldn't play. You know what his crime was?
Freedom of speech, or did he hurt a Jew's feelings?
He tweeted. He made a joke. So on the first month anniversary of George Floyd's death, and you got to figure what happened that first month was riots everywhere, right? Burning down cities. And he tweets out, I would like to congratulate George Floyd on 1 month drug free.
Hey, that's funny. I like it. That's actually pretty funny.
And yeah, and you know, George Floyd.
And he wrote that on Twitter?
He put it on Twitter and was massively, massively attacked. He's a nice kid. He's smart and polite and everything. He's a nice kid. I guess it would, you know, you could probably follow him on Gab or something. I doubt he's still on Twitter, but there's probably Gab or Telegram or I don't know all these things. So you have that. Where was I going with it? So George Floyd, you know, I don't dance on his grave. Obviously he spent over a third of his adult life in prison. So in and out of prison, he had, I guess, 5 felony convictions, largely for cocaine, but he did have that home invasion where he held a gun to a pregnant woman's stomach while his friends ransacked the house looking for money and drugs, which I think qualifies as a violent crime. Maybe not as violent as white silence, but it's pretty daggone violent. So there's a lot of, you know, he had a very checkered past, but I asked this to Mark Collett, right? Did you see the videos of him when he was in the store waiting to be served? And he had the banana?
Mark Collett?
No, not Mark Collett, of George Floyd, when he was in that store in Minneapolis waiting to be served, where he tried to buy something with a 20.
Okay. I don't remember him having a banana. Sorry, that's what
he had a banana. No, okay. He had a banana. Not only did he have a banana, but he was dancing with the banana.
Oh, so he's doing a monkey dance.
So here's the thing: I was watching the Ralph. What is it? The Ethan Ralph on the Ralph Retort or whatever it was called. Because I became very interested in the George Floyd trial in the first day or two. I watched it through the Ethan Ralph thing, and then finally I just started watching it straight, unfiltered. But Ethan Ralph, who is a gamer, pointed out that what George Floyd was doing when he was dancing with a banana is he was doing the Donkey Kong dance. Right. So he's sitting there. He's on, what was he on? He was on this mixture of methamphetamine and fentanyl, and he's trying to buy a banana with a counterfeit $20 bill, and then all of a sudden just breaks into the Donkey Kong dance.
Okay.
And so, you know, I asked Mark Collett about that, and I said, well, would that change your opinion of him if it was the Donkey Kong dance he was doing? And Mark Collett, very honestly, much to his credit, said, I would have to reconsider my opinion of him. If he was, you know, it's human, or at least, I mean, at least it's primate, you know, primate behavior. So you look at somebody as being a fellow human. Honestly, if I was waiting in a inner city convenience store to purchase a banana, I would either break into the Donkey Kong dance or perhaps moonwalk.
What about the Macarena?
Yes. Macarena, okay. I might do that in the suburbs. I don't think I would do it in the inner city.
It's
a little bit too faggoty. Okay. And tell that to Al Gore. All right, anyway, we'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, we're back. And we got a little bit distracted with the, you know, George Floyd doing the Donkey Kong dance. But what I wanted to get to was that meme of Gromit. And 91% of the people saying they would rather, they would choose a Gromit mug over ending racism. Now, obviously, that was a joke. But, you know, the serious question is, are they running out of gas with this whole racism thing? That, like, racism for years has been the worst thing ever. So you got Jeffrey Dahmer, right?
Yeah.
Who
I'm not a racist.
Yeah, kidnapped children, raped them, murdered them, ate them. But when he was accused of being a racist, that he denied. Everything else he admitted. But no, I'm not a racist. Oh.
Yeah, that's part of the...
Oh, you're calling me a rapist. Oh, okay, that's all right. I thought you were calling me a racist.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Just part of the Jews mentality, that they have that mentality like rise first and strike. So they're always on the attack. So you have to be on the defensive. That's how they want it, you know, obviously.
And, you know, and the question is, at what point, if ever, do whites just start saying, yeah, whatever?
Yeah, I don't even like to use, like... I don't call anybody racist or anything because I don't even like the word. I remind people that it was Leon Trotsky that kind of coined the term and invented the word, if you will. you know, I don't know if the, I don't believe the word was around before him, but at least not in that context, you know. So
honestly, and I say this maybe because it sounds like a joke, but honestly, the term for racism before Leon Trotsky, I haven't investigated the etymology of the word racism, but Don Black, he swore that it was invented by Leon Trotsky, who was, I guess, a native Russian speaker, maybe a native Yiddish speaker, but he did speak English too. And honestly, before Leon Trotsky, it was probably called common sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
so I remind people that it was a mass murderer and a Jew that invented that word or coined the term. So I don't even use it. Yeah, you know, it never bothered me. I've shed whatever kind of guilt that I may have had or that was, you know, artificially put into your head. You know, when you were a child, we all have to read Anne Frank. I know I did. I don't remember reading it. I don't think I did. Maybe I just faked it. But anyway.
So, yeah, Leon Trotsky, as I believe he did admit to being a mass murderer, but he never admitted to being a Jew. I could be wrong on that.
Really?
Well, I'm joking. But as for Anne Frank, okay, getting back to the Daily Stormer, there was a... I guess the guy who... So the Olympics are on, by the way, in case you didn't notice, and you probably didn't notice. Okay, all right, you noticed. The Olympics are on. They had this amazing ceremony, you know, opening ceremony, where they, you know, they always, like, they'll do these mass games where they'll... Like, if it's North Korea, they have people sitting in the stands with these cards, and they pull, you know, the cards, and... There's always something like that. What the Japanese, because the Japanese are so good at robotics, did is they got a bunch of drones. They had like hundreds of drones, or maybe a couple thousands of drones, each drone being a pixel. And they did this 3D stuff in the air using drones, where they're, you know, making a globe and they're making designs. And it was really, really cool. But...
Yeah, I did see footage of that.
Did you see footage of it?
Yes. Yes, sir, I did.
And where was the footage taken from? If it was the same footage I saw, it was taken from outside the stadium. Did you notice? Why was it taken from outside the stadium? Because they weren't letting people inside the stadium for the ceremonies.
Oh, because everything's empty. They don't have any spectators.
Because of the deadly coronavirus.
Because of the deadly Holocaust.
And it's just so sad that, I mean, that, like, the Olympics is a big deal. I remember I used to go to Korea in the 1980s, and Korea, they usually award the Olympic Games about 6 years in advance, so... Korea would have been awarded the 88 games back in 1982, probably. Maybe it was only 5 years back then, but it's always about 6 years in advance. So throughout the 80s, the whole time I was going there, it was like, this is going to be the biggest event in Korean history. I'm like, really? I mean, you got this, you know, 4,000-year-old civilization, and hosting the Olympics is... I mean, St. Louis hosted the Olympics, right? I think 1904 or something like that. Los Angeles hosted it twice, and most people don't even remember it. And Atlanta, and, you know, people don't even remember it. But at any rate, so it was a big deal. And, of course, Tokyo hosted it in 1964. That was the first time they hosted it. And they were supposed to host it, I think, in 1940, but there was World War II. So at any rate, Tokyo hosted it the first time, they built a bullet train for it and all this infrastructure and everything. And now it's like, it's an afterthought. And why is it even, they postponed it by a year, and now they're not letting in, there are very few foreign tourists and no audiences. And it's just sad. It's just pathetic. And the thing is, Japanese people, aren't even dying from this. I mean, even according to the Japanese official data, what is it? Like less than 10,000 people have died, which isn't even a bad flu year for Japan.
Yeah.
But yet the Japanese people have been freaked out, and they don't want the Olympics anymore. They'd wanted the Olympics really bad 6 years ago, 7 years ago when they bid for it, and they were all excited about it. And then all of a sudden this, I mean, the hoax is not so much the disease or the pathogen. The hoax is calling it a crisis. But I mean, they've been hoaxed.
Okay, yeah.
But this is the point I was making. Was the guy who was, I think the guy responsible for these ceremonies is a former comedian. And 25 years ago, they uncovered a tiny, tiny segment of a little skit he was doing. And he was dressed up weird and goes off to a box. And then he comes back and he says something like, let's make believe we're going to massacre a lot of Jews. So it was a joke about the Holocaust.
And I mean, I don't even really find it funny, not because I'm worried about offending Jews, but like, it's not really, if you think about it, it's like, okay, that's not really even that funny.
It was a throwaway line. It wasn't even a punchline.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean.
It was just a throwaway line in it, what seemed to be like a much larger skit or and it's 25 years ago, just some little throwaway line that he may not have ever planned or whatever. Maybe, you know, maybe it's the type of thing he would say every now and then. Oh, let's make believe we're going to kill.
Yeah. There's no statute of limitations on hate.
And yeah. And so he's summarily dismissed, you know?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And the point that Andrew Anglin made is, so he showed the cover of a book that I guess is used in Japanese schools, and it had a kind of a manga version of Anne Frank, and he said they're even pushing this Anne Frank stuff in Japan, and that's not enough. Nothing is ever enough.
No, never enough.
But so getting back to my point, and did you happen to hear my Friday show last week with the Mid White Boy Summer's Night Dream playlist?
Yes, I believe I did listen to that on my way back home.
Yeah, I got some good response from him, but it had Boomer Man, and Boomer Man got a phone call from the Holocaust, and they wanted him to give an F word, and he just said, "Look, you know, for years I gave an F word." I gave an F word about the Holocaust. I gave an F word about slavery, but I'm all out of F words. I don't have any more to give. And that's the question, whether we're talking about whether you'd rather have a grommet mug or end racism, whether you're talking about the Holocaust. At some point, does your meter for white guilt point to empty?
Right, exactly. That's what I was going to say. I'm out of guilt. Like the low guilt light has been on for a long time. Now it's just empty. Like we were running on fumes for forever on guilt, and now we're just straight out of white guilt.
And so, what happens when you're straight out of white guilt?
Well, you for me, skin gets a lot thicker.
Huh? But
you have to know a lot about history. I mean, not you don't have to be a historian, but you know, you need to know a little bit about World War II, I guess, if you're discussing things with people that actually listen, you know, explain how Hitler was you know, why he's the portrayed as the evilest man in history. But anyway.
Yeah, I was talking to a British guy not too long ago, a British boomer, and I wound up quoting, like, Winston Churchill. He was fun to quote. He said a lot of things that were, like, very quotable. And one was regarding grammar, because with grammar, you were not supposed to leave a preposition at the end of a sentence. Like, it's like, who did you give that to? No, it's to whom did you give that, right? And he made fun of that type of prescriptive grammar by saying, it's the kind of grammar up with which I will not put. And I just quoted that for whatever reason. It fit in the context of our conversation. Well, then he starts talking about Winston Churchill as if he was some sort of great leader. And I was like, well, I just thought he was fun to quote. I don't personally want to go to his grave and pay homage. But what are you going to do? That's one of the things is it, whether you're talking about Britain, whether you're talking about the Soviet Union, you've got, or America, you've got this legacy of history. And, you know, we had a generation that went off and fought World War II. And of course, America, compared to other countries, really didn't make a whole lot of sacrifices compared to the other countries where the wars were actually being fought. But still, people got drafted and 3 or 4 years of their life were taken up. And you know, hundreds of thousands got killed. It wasn't nearly the millions that other countries were suffering. But what do you do? And so if you're the Russians, it's really, really hard to say that sacrifices that were made not only were, you know, maybe made for nothing, but actually you might even have been on the wrong side.
Right. There were reports of Hitler. He served in World War I, you know, and there were soldiers that he served with, like in the trenches, that said he was screaming about how we shouldn't be shooting at our European brothers, that how it was the Jews that were behind all this. And I mean, you know, he was right. But it's kind of a funny sight.
Do you think that actually happened? Do we have? Is it?
I think it did. As far as I know, it's just stories. But I mean, I don't see any reason why they'd be lying. I don't know. You'll have to investigate that. See if I'm prove me wrong.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I know he was a corporal in the Austrian army. I thought he had done reasonably well and got some sort of medals or something for bravery or whatever. Who knows? You think of the Vietnam War, for instance, which seems a lot to me. It seems like a lot more recent than World War II, but that's because I can remember it, and World War II was before I was born. But when you think about it, the Vietnam War is only 20 years or so after World War II, and it was more than 50 years ago. So it's actually kind of close to that era. But at any rate, you think of these young American soldiers over there who got so disillusioned, and a lot of them got strung out on drugs too. Yeah. Not just disobeying their lieutenants, but murdering their lieutenants. Very common. It was called fragging, where they would throw a fragmentary grenade or whatever it was, and kill their own lieutenants who were ordering them into battles they didn't want to go into. They're just killing their own lieutenants. It was fairly common.
Yeah, that's sad to see, you know.
Well, so you saw a lot of that. I mean, the Vietnam War, and maybe because people were being drafted, you had that. You know, you could say, oh, well, maybe it's because they were losing or they weren't allowed to fight. What's been the response from, we've had people in Afghanistan for 20 years now, just about. We've had a certain number of people in Iraq for about the same time. And I don't know if I've heard much about that type of mutiny, direct mutiny. And of course, the people who are over there aren't drafted. They are you know, for a while they were largely, what do you call it? The state militias. They were the National Guard. But, right. But you've had massive suicides, right? I mean, you're having almost, for a while, it was 20 servicemen or 20 ex-servicemen a day committing suicide.
And that PTSD, I mean, that, you know, yeah, they come back all screwed up and, you know, then they end up shooting a bunch of people here and then we get more gun control and, yeah, you can see how, I mean, the ripples of the waves that the unnecessary wars we fight leave. It's hard to calculate all that, you know.
Okay, well, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
We are back, and as promised, we are going to play the Wadlesworth song. So tell us a little bit about the Wadlesworth song.
Yeah, well, I wrote this with a friend, and we wrote this about somebody we both knew that was just a extremely obese, shameless, you know, the type of person that would be eating Cheetos and getting crumbs all over their lap and the floor and everything. And, you know, just a downright shameless slob. And everybody knows one. So we had an idea of writing a song about it. You know, they're everywhere, sadly enough. So this song's for you.
This song is for you. Okay, well, thank you, Philbert.
Well, thank you for having me again, sir. I appreciate it.
And I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This guy so evil bad couldn't turn around and wipe his hands, touch his toes, stuff like that. He smelled like Doritos chain. You all will remember the name. Big fat rose made of donut holes in the buffet. Says no name. Waddles work, waddles work, waddles work.
It's time.
Waddles work, waddles work. Titan born in his old time. He's never passed Taco Bell, and he's never been insane. He lives in a KFC. His blood type is brown gravy. He's never been to a gym in his life. Waddles work, waddles work, waddles work.
So sweet.
Waddles work. Waddles work, waddles work, waddles work.
And Husky.
Let this be a lesson to you morbidly obese guys. You better put down the Twinkies, ditch the donuts, and trash the fries. Listen to me, you're all waddles worth, you see. You get in my way at the grocery store, and it's really fucking getting to me. Waddles work, waddles work, waddles work. 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 Waddles work, waddles work, waddles work, waddles work.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.